trembling. For hide my word in your heart, that you might not sin against me. Oh, let my word envelop your life. Let my word fill your heart. Let my word flow out of your mouth. For where my word goes, my will is manifested, and my power is made known. Hallelujah. Thanks and praise for the gifts that are brought into your kingdom tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we give with a cheerful heart. We give out of love and honor for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will multiply every gift sown and give it back to the giver, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, cause men to give into their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Giving is a good thing. God hangs around with givers. How many are learning about the kingdom of God? You're a citizen of a kingdom. Amen? And in our series so far, we just want to welcome anybody that might be watching live on Facebook. Good to have you with us. We talked about the location of the kingdom. Where's the kingdom located? It's in us. It's very near, right? It's at hand. How can we enter the kingdom of God? You know, there's ways that we can enter the kingdom of God. There's an entrance supplied to us. We talked about possessing the kingdom, right? God's given us the kingdom, but we got to possess it. It's like when I got my license, my dad gave me the keys to the car, and when I got my license, I took the keys to the car, right? And I went for a drive. We talked about the message of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, and tonight we're going to talk about the greatness and the rewards of the kingdom. You know, we have a kingdom that is so great. It is incredible. And so we're going to touch on those things tonight. Are you ready for the word? You come hungry? That's all the requirements needed to be filled. You hunger and thirst. Right? All right. Why don't you go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Charles Finney, he said this: revival comes from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, or if need be, win and die. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. All right, go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Matthew 5 and 19. Whosoever, how many whosoevers are here? That's all of us, right? If you didn't know it, you are a whosoever. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever, notice, shall do and teach them, the same shall be called what? Great where? In the kingdom of heaven. How many want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? So to be great in God's kingdom, you have to do what he says, and you have to teach others to do the same thing. And guess what? How we do is how we teach. That's one way we teach, right? Now, maybe you heard this phrase growing up from a parent. They said, don't do as I do as I say, right? Well, that's not true. Because if you're not being a good example, they're going to follow bad example. And you can't blame them for it, right? No, whoever shall do and teach them, that's going to be great in the kingdom of God. Doers are great in God's sight. Not just hearers, not just chair sitters, but doers. Do the word, right? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. What happens if you don't do the word and you're just hearing? The Bible says you deceive yourself. And if you deceive yourself, the devil doesn't have to do anything. So you got to be a doer of the word. This word great here means to be important, to have a high status. All right? So whoever does what God says and teaches others to do so shall be called great in the kingdom. I want to be great in the kingdom. Go to Matthew chapter 20. I'm just going to give you some ways on how to be great in the kingdom. Because God's kingdom is great. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. Well, we better start with verse 25. Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. You know, God gives us authority and power, but we're not to become a dictator with his authority and power. Because Jesus is not a dictator, right? If he was a dictator, he would make everybody get saved tomorrow. Wouldn't he? But he's not a dictator, but he has authority. Okay? So we're not supposed to use his authority the way the world uses authority. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. What's he saying? That word minister means to serve. I'm a minister. That means what I'm doing right now is I'm serving. I'm serving by teaching God's word. See, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, the way to be great is to serve. Jesus demonstrated this to his disciples, didn't he? I think it's over in John, maybe chapter 13, I'm not sure of the exact chapter, but what did Jesus do? His disciples were gathered together, and he put on an apron. He took out a basin, he had water in that basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, didn't he? And Peter was like, when he got to Peter, he said, no, Lord, not me. You shouldn't be doing this. You're the Lord. You're the King. He said, Peter, if I don't do this, you don't have a part in my kingdom. Okay, then, give me a bath. I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what Peter said. Right? But Jesus was serving his disciples. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Because that's how we tap into the greatness of the kingdom of God. We serve others. And in serving others, it's Jesus working through you. But see, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to serve. You have to be a minister. Verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man, verse 28, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, you talk about service. Jesus gave his life for you and I. Say this, say, Jesus gave his life for me. Now, normally, who receives a ransom? A kidnapper, right? See, when we sinned, Satan had kidnapped us. And in order to be free from that spiritual kidnapper, blood was the payment. And it had to be pure blood. So God became a man. And he was 100% man and 100% God. He was without sin. His blood was pure, spotless, holy, impeccable, perfect. And when his blood was shed on Calvary, that was the debt that God required, and God accepted payment in full for every one of us. But greatness in the kingdom, it comes through serving others. Being a minister, being a servant, putting others first. What does Philippians say? Prefer your brother above yourself. See, when we serve, we're taking on the nature of God. Now notice it said serve, not be a doormat. Amen? Another way to go to Matthew 22 and verse 38. You want to be great in God's kingdom? This is how to be great in His kingdom. Well, we better start with verse 37. Well, they asked Jesus the question, which is the great commandment? Everybody say, great commandment. Well, if you do the great commandment, you'll be great, won't you? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. Listen, there ought to be no other person that has all your heart before God. God is first. Here's what I said to Josiah tonight. He took a nap, and when he woke up, I said, I love Josiah, but you love Jesus first. I said, yep, that's right. I said, I love my Josiah, but he said, you love Jesus first. I said, yep, that's right, because that's the right order. I mean, Josiah is my son, and I love him, but God has more of my love. He has first place. And guess what? When he's in first place, my heart is so full of love it overflows. All right? The second, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, verse 40, on all these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to know how to love. You got to love God, and you got to love people. Because when you love God, He fills your heart. He sheds His love abroad in our hearts. He helps us love even unlovable. So if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to serve, you got to do what He says, and you got to love. That's how we be great in God's kingdom. You say, some of you are thinking this can't be that simple. It is. God makes it simple. Why? He wants us to be in His kingdom. Because God's kingdom is great. It's going to be forever. You might as well learn how to be in the kingdom now, because you're going to be in it. If you don't like it now, you're going to have trouble for eternity. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 1. What are we talking about? Ways to be great in God's kingdom. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Notice this. It's talking about John. He shall be what? In what? Great in what? In the sight of the Lord. Who determines greatness? It's God. Okay? He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now here's where we can participate in the greatness. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So if you want to be great in God's kingdom, turn people to God. Turn people to God. John turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. He turned the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of God. Right? So how do we turn people to God? What do we have to do to turn people to God? We have to love them. We have to witness. We have to testify. Everybody say testify. I do solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. What do you testify about? What God did for me. Let me tell you what God did for me. Can I tell you what God did for me? Can I tell you what God did for me? Well, yeah, sure. Let me hear what God did for you. That's witnessing. You're testifying. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, turn people to God. Daniel 12:3 says, those who turn people to God shine like the stars in heaven. How many want to shine? Well, guess what? You have a light inside of you. You don't only have a light, you have the light. And he wants to shine through you. Where does a light shine best? In the darkness. So many people complain where they are, but maybe you're in a dark place because that's the only light that's there. And all God wants you to do is shine. Reflect the glory of God. Be like the moon. The moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects the light of what? The sun. So be moonbeams. I'm a sun reflector. Say this, I'm a sun reflector. That's a S-O-N, not a S-U-N, right? So if you want to be great, you got to do what he says. You got to teach others to do so. You got to serve. You got to love. You got to turn people to God. Somebody, just think of yourself as a pie. You're a turnover, right? Well, don't you bear fruit? You're a fruit turnover. Let people taste the goodness of God. Why? Because God's kingdom is great. You know, everything that God does is great. God never does anything mediocre. When he saved you, he did it great. I mean, only God could destroy sin from the inside out. Even the Bible says if they knew he was going to rise from the dead, they wouldn't even crucify him. But God is so wise, so intelligent. Go with me to Genesis 12 for a minute. I want to show you something. God just dropped this into my heart not too long ago, today. Genesis chapter 12. I never saw this like this before, but this is a type and a shadow of us being part of God's kingdom. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, he sent his word to Abraham. Okay? First step in getting into the kingdom of God is you're going to hear his word. Okay? And in his word, he brings us an invitation. Okay? Okay? The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. The land that God was going to show him is his kingdom. God, it's a type and shadow of us coming out of the world, coming out of our mess, coming out of our mistakes. God's word came to him and said, come out, leave this place, leave your family, make something brand new. He was giving Abram an invitation to participate in his kingdom, to come into the supernatural, to leave the natural and come into the supernatural. Too many people exalt their experience versus revelation. Well, this is what happened to me last time, so I'm not going to do it this way. Well, don't rely on your experience. Notice what he said, verse 2. And I will make you a what? Who's going to make Abram great? All he had to do was obey. All he had to do was leave, and God was going to make him great. He was going to make him a great nation. And I will bless you. Let me tell you something. Is there enough resources in God's kingdom? Does he ever have a low supply of anything? Absolutely not. That's why he can meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not according to yours. Thank God for that. Amen? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Because Abraham became a king and a priest just like you and I. Do you think if God made you a king, that would make your name great? Right? He didn't just make us kings. He made us kings and priests. Right? And you shall be a what? To bless people is to serve people. Right? Because if you're going to help people, you got to have something to help them with, right? God said, I will make you a blessing. Say, I'm a blessing. What does that mean? It means you've been empowered by God to go and be a help to people in all kinds of ways. He's walking in the kingdom. And notice, see, God didn't tell him where he was going because he had direct orders from the king. He didn't have to know where he was going because he had the king. And where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. What do you need to come out of tonight? What do you need to leave tonight? There's some things that if you stay connected to, God can't bless you like he wants to. Maybe you have to leave a mindset. Maybe you have to leave a tradition of men. Maybe you have to leave an experience. Stop using that experience as a crutch. Maybe you just have to step out in faith to receive what God wants to do for you, what he wants you to have, and to go where he wants you to go. You know, if you hold on to one thing and trying to go forward, pretty soon, something's going to give. Hopefully, you don't drive according to your rearview mirror only. If you do, tell me which road you're going to be on so that I'm not there. But how many people, they're bound by their past and God's trying to take them forward, but they won't let go of their past? Because you identify with whatever happened in the past. Guess what? The past is the past. It's time to let go of the past. Verse 3. I will bless them that bless you. In other words, when you do something good for the king's kid, you're doing something good for the king. That's how he sees it. And I will curse him that curses. You mess with my kid, you're going to mess with me. And in you shall all the families of the earth. Families of the what? Ever say the earth? He did not say a city. He did not say a town. He said the earth. Sometimes our vision is just too small. The earth. The earth belongs to God. It belongs to the king. And it belongs to the princes and princesses in the kingdom. We have the right to take possession. We have the right to take dominion. We have the authority and the power and the commission of the king. Wherever the place, wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, who does it belong to? So when you tread on a scorpion or a serpent, you've just taken territory. We've got to be taking some territory. So God showed me how Abraham was invited to participate in the kingdom. And he did. What happened? He became very rich. He became rich like a king. And guess what? His son Isaac, if you look at Genesis 26, he became richer than a king, King Abimelech. King Abimelech said, "You got too much stuff, Isaac, you need to go." Read it. That's what it says, Genesis chapter 26. Go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And verse 46. Luke 9, 46. Well, we better back up to verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." Can I get an amen? How many are letting these sayings sink into their ears? See, when you leave tonight, I don't want you to act like an ordinary person. I want you to act like a king. I want you to take your God-given authority, take your God-given position, and act like a king, a queen. Amen? Act like royalty. Expect great things to happen to you. Why? Because God wants to do great things. He wants you to be great. Verse 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Verse 46, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Hey, Peter, I'm going to be the greatest. No, John, I'm going to be the greatest. I'm the greatest. Verse 47, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, apparently their motive was wrong. Don't relish in the fact that don't argue who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's a dead end. Amen? Well, I'm going to be the greatest. Be quiet. Listen, greatness in the kingdom doesn't require an advertisement by you. If you're great in the kingdom, you won't have to say a word. People will know it by the way you act and what you do. Verse 48, and he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receives who? Me. Talking about the Lord. And whosoever shall receive me, receives him that sent me. Who sent him? God, okay? For he that is least among you all, the same shall be what? That's talking about humility. What is humility in its basic form? Not trusting in yourself. Not trusting in your experience. Not trusting in your history. Not trusting in anything about you. But completely trusting in God alone. You want to be great? Be humble. Peter said, humble yourselves under his mighty hand, and he will exalt you in due time. Say, God wants to exalt me. But if you want to be exalted by him, you got to get under his hand. That's coming under his authority. That's following his instructions. That's doing his will. That's finding out who you are in Christ. Because God wants you into greatness. So if you want to be great, you be the least. If you want to go up in God's kingdom, you get down on your knees. Can I get an amen? Jesus said in John 18:36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's out of the world. All right? Now, what are some of the rewards of the kingdom? How many like rewards? You like being rewarded? Well, you know what? Did you know that faith requires you to believe God's a rewarder? Say, my Father is a rewarder. And he gives good rewards. I mean, his rewards are incredible. Okay? Luke 18:29. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall what? Who shall not receive what? Manifold or many times more when? Huh? In this what? Present time, say right now. Listen, there are some rewards that we get in heaven, but there are rewards now. When you leave your house, your father, your mother, your sister, brother, for the kingdom's sake, when you do what the king tells you to do, and you're leaving some stuff behind, you're going to get stuff in this present time. I experienced this. When I went to Rhema, I was 21. This was the first time that I had left home. I was in an apartment living by myself. Because I had been to New Zealand the month of July. School started at the end of August, so I didn't really have a whole lot of time to go to Tulsa and to find a place and do all that. So when I got there, it had to be a quick thing. And wouldn't you know, I had left my family in Illinois, and God put me with families in Tulsa. My first night at Rhema Bible Church, I had saw someone that went to my church in Illinois, her and her husband. And that night, they invited me over for dinner. Actually, they took me out to dinner. And I had several dinners at their home. So everywhere I went, God provided families to help take care of me. He sent a black man from Boston to buy me a bed. Seriously. And then I met some guys where I worked. And one guy, He's an only child, but his parents treated me like one of their sons. Why? Because I left because God told me to go. And just like this verse, I reaped this present time. I was doing God's will, and God took care of me. Guess what's going to happen when you do God's will? He'll take care of you. He's no respecter of persons. What he does for me, he'll do for you. What he does for someone else, he'll do for anybody that believes him. So guess what? You can't really lose serving God. And you always gain. I'm too blessed to be stressed because I'm at rest. Say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah. So I better not hear you complaining about how stressed you are this week. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verses 35. Luke 6, 35. Love your enemies. Did the Bible say that? Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And what? Your reward will be what? Great. You need to stop talking about your enemies and love them. And if you have to, fight the good fight of faith. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Not only is God's kingdom great, but his rewards are great. We're going to read verse 3 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3 through 8. We are bound to thank God, how often? Always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Does that sound like it's increasing or decreasing? It's increasing, okay? Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So Paul is praising them for having faith and patience in persecution. My. We're having some good persecution today. Do you remember when the disciples came back to their own company in Acts 4? They were rejoicing because they had gotten beaten for the gospel. They got beat up in jail and they were rejoicing over it. Come on. They weren't magnifying the pain. They weren't magnifying the bruises. They were magnifying God. That's a good thing for us to know. All right, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Where? How many want God to count you worthy in the kingdom? Does that sound like a reward? Be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Let me tell you something. Those that trouble you, if you just stand your ground and if you just rejoice in God, God will take care of the persecutor. I guarantee it. But you're not moved by the persecution because you serve something greater. Jesus was perfect and he was persecuted. So don't think that I'm going to use my faith to avoid persecution. Sorry, that's unscriptural. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But with a big, great big smile, he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Say, I've overcome the world. So if you take the stance that you've overcome the world, anything that they throw at you, anything they try to do against you, doesn't move you. When they were stoning Stephen, he was having a vision of God. Rocks were hitting his body. He was being pelted by stones maybe the size of a fist. And they were chucking stones at him like this. Rocks. Now, just imagine the pain that a rock being thrown at you like that hits your body. Stephen didn't even care about what was happening to his body. He was seeing Jesus stand at the right hand of God, and he saw the glory of God. He saw heaven open up, and he forgave them. Lay not this sin to their charge, he said. You know who heard that prayer? Paul. Paul was holding the coats of the people who stoned Stephen. And he saw Stephen respond to what was happening to him. You think that that had a part to play in him coming to the Lord? It certainly did. In his dying breath, Stephen was laying the seed for Paul's salvation. Woo! Say, I'm worthy of the kingdom. Say, God counts me worthy. Based on what he did, you are worthy. Because what he did makes you worthy. Amen? Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Hallelujah. So being counted worthy, that's a reward that God gives us. James 2, verses 5 through 7 says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Did you know that, say, I'm an heir of the kingdom? Say, God promised me that I'll be an heir. So let's live like an heir. Let's walk like an heir. Let's act like an heir. See, in God's kingdom, we can be airheads, but not A-I-R, H-E-I-R. Amen? Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood has made us kings and priests. That sounds like a promotion, doesn't it? To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can you say amen? So God wants to reward you tonight. He wants you to be great in God's kingdom. Every one of you were destined for greatness. But you've got to go after it. When you're connected to Jesus, you're connected to greatness. When you're walking with Jesus, you're walking with greatness. When you're talking with Jesus, you're talking with greatness. He'll show you how to be great. He'll teach you how to be great. He'll help you be great. Maybe your life before Christ wasn't so great, but it gets better because you go higher. You get lifted up. You get set on a rock. He hides you in the shadow of his wings. He puts you in a secret place where the enemy can't get to you. We have access to the king, to the throne room. Anytime that we need to, we can go boldly before the throne of grace. That's a reward, just having access to God. Having his armor. Saul's armor didn't fit David, but Jesus' armor fits you perfectly. Because it's an armor of light. It's spiritual. It's not physical. But enemy can't penetrate it. Your shield was designed to quench fiery darts. So those of you listening tonight, make a willful decision to come into God's kingdom, to be great in His kingdom, to love, to serve, to be the least, to do His will, to do His commandments, and you will be rewarded. He will reward you, because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So be a diligent seeker tonight. Seek the King. Seek His kingdom. Seek His glory. Go after Him like a deer goes after water. And He will usher you in to His kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. How about you tonight?